same, one of my Ingerbos in the same situation right now. He's got all the gear, but I think he's only been like on a 7 mile hike. And so we're planning on doing a couple of days, two or three days on the Appalachian Trail, and I can't wait to take him out for a spin and see what his little engine's made out of. He's in that stage. Amen. And I just couldn't see the old con could take 6 months off life. And then I also set a goal that until I could run a marathon, I didn't have any business thinking I could hike the Appalachian Trail. I know, Sister Lois, I know I had problems. I know that. But you know, I found out that it was a whole lot easier to talk about it than to actually go out and do it.
Amen.
But then my lovely wife got me motivated. And she said, I wish you'd stop talking about it and just go do it and get it over with. Brothers, don't you love your wives today, or those prophetic prophetesses that speak into your life? And so, I did. In 2018, I ran a half marathon. In 2019, I ran the full marathon. And finally, in 2020, I did my first official miles on the Appalachian Trail. Between last year and this year, I was blessed by God to cover about one quarter of the AT, or 545 miles, which is good. But at some point, I had to get my head out of the clouds and bring dreams to reality.
Yes.
Amen.
At some point, I had to put actions with my words.
Yes.
How many of us today could say that there are things on our bucket list begging for our attention? How many of us could say that we have felt inspired or drawn to something that we've been tippy-toeing around for far too long? Yes, this is going to be one of those messages. My favorite kind. And maybe we've set the bar too high. Maybe we've decided it's necessary to reach some level of perfection or proficiency before we can give ourselves permission to pursue something that really gets our joy and creative juices flowing. Somehow we decided that we've got to endure a certain level of pain and suffering before we can privilege ourselves and reward ourselves with what it is that we really want to do. Or maybe we're just lazy or pathological procrastinators. Maybe we're just chicken. Maybe we've got too many excuses and not enough reasons, or faith in God and faith in ourselves. Well, I've got a word of the Lord and a word of encouragement for you today. Amen. Spoken by my lovely wife, I'm sure under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's time to stop talking about it and just go do it and get it over with.
Amen.
At some point, we must stop daydreaming, planning, and talking about the things that are calling to us. At some point, we've got to strike out in faith and begin following the path God is laying out before us.
Amen.
It's time to get out of our heads out of the clouds. I know some of you are thinking about something else when you look at that. Hallelujah. Get your head out. Get your head out of the clouds. Step out in faith and obedience and pursue the call of God in your life.
Amen.
The book of Acts, chapter number 1. Are you there? The book of Acts, chapter number 1, and verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus has taught and preached and healed and died on the cross. He's resurrected and spent 40 days encouraging, reiterating, reinforcing, and reaffirming the work of His kingdom with His disciples. And now at last, His earthly work is complete. Amen. And now Jesus is taken up to heaven in a glorious cloud of God's presence. And now Jesus is going to begin the heavenly phase of His ministry as priest and intercessor for God's people.
Amen.
And once again we find angels attending this astounding sight. His disciples gaze with awe as Jesus disappears into the atmosphere. They have their mandate. They have their commission. They have their instructions to go and wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. Don't you just wish I'd hurry up and get to Acts chapter 2, Sister Ashley, and start preaching about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm dragging it out. Amen. By the time we get to Acts chapter 2, y'all going to be ready to shout and get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I'm dragging it out. They have their instructions. Jesus is now in heaven, and this ministry is there, but their ministry is on the earth. And so they just stand there, dumbfounded, and continue gazing into the clouds. And they must have gazed, Sister Sue, a little too long, and a little too longingly for the comfort of the angel. Angels are used to receiving God's commands. They stand at the ready to do all their king's bidding. They react with lightning speed and precision at God's every word. There is no hesitation. There is no delay. God speaks and angels obey.
Yeah.
The disciples standing there, gaping into heaven, was more than the angels could tolerate or fathom. What are these knuckleheads doing? Well, they're not supposed to be standing there like statues. I can just hear the angels now. Get your head out of the clouds. I wish somebody would hear what this preacher is saying today. God told Moses, you camp around this mountain long enough. Too many of us get stuck and starstruck by God's glory that we never get around to conquering the promised land. Maybe we feel guilty for the mistakes we've made and we're hovering around the location of our failure, feeling unworthy to be forgiven, let alone worthy of striking out towards God's promises. Warren Buffett, the billionaire, has got some advice for all. How many of you here would like to be a billionaire? Or you're not sure, but you'd give it a try.
Yeah,
I'll give it a try. He's got some prescient advice for would-be millionaires, and it goes like this: start now. That wasn't very insightful. That's his advice. It's been his advice for decades. Start now. The angels were saying to the disciples of Jesus, stop postulating and procrastinating and get busy doing what God told you to do. There are far too many dawdlers in the church and not enough doers. Amen. You pray about it, saint of God, long enough. We've preached about it enough times and you've studied on it plenty. And you've talked about it and talked about it until everybody's sick of hearing about it. It's time to get your head the clouds and get to doing what God commanded the church to do.
Amen.
Jerusalem is waiting. The upper room is waiting. The promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is waiting. And the power to be His witnesses is waiting. Get your head out of the clouds. It's time to stop processing and start progressing toward the goal. I know it's hard to set aside our love for the more glamorous aspects of following Jesus. It's a whole lot easier to come to church on Sunday morning dressed up nice and smelling nice and looking nice and have the temperature perfect and have the music curated and have nice words and encouraging words spoken to us. It's a whole lot easier to do that than it is to go out in the streets and deal with the addicts and deal with the cynics and deal with all of the people of our world today. Oh, but Jesus said it's time to get your head out of the clouds and get out in the streets and the homes of our city and preach this gospel. Even the gospel of Jesus isn't going to preach itself. Hallelujah. Faith without works is dead, and belief without baptism is damnation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. He who knows to do good but doesn't do it is living a lie and living in sin.
Amen.
So the word from the Lord today is this. Sister Deborah, get your head out of the clouds. Sister Brenda, get your head out of the clouds. Stop wishing. Because people that are always wishing are wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Jesus said it so succinctly. Be doers of the word.
Yeah.
And not hearers only. What are you going to do this week? What are you going to do today? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Why are you yelling so hard? I'll tell you why. Because I have to yell, because I'm hard-headed and because I don't listen very good and because I'm stubborn and intransigent and implacable. And so I have to, Paul said, I have to bring my body under subjection.
Yeah.
In the Greek, that means to beat oneself black and blue. He was literally like Jacob wrestling with himself to get himself to do what he knew was right. I want to ask you a question in closing today. What is your one regret? I was meditating on this yesterday. And I'm doing research for Get Your Head Out of the Clouds. And I managed to find my way onto some websites. And they uncovered a huge regret that I have in my life. And I'm not going to tell you what that is today because I decided that it wouldn't be profitable. But we all have regrets.
Yes.
What is your one regret? What do you wish you would have started sooner? What are you still suppressing after all these years and opportunities? Now, there's one thing that God called me to do that I do not regret, and that is that He called me to preach this gospel.
Amen.
And it was irrepressible. I mean, you can ask my dad. When I was 16, 17 years old, and the preacher got up and was anointed like Brother Philip was when he was leading the worship today, he started preaching under the anointing. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach." Man, when a preacher ever got in our pulpit and started preaching like that, you can ask my dad. I was like a firecracker. I mean, I could feel that down in my bones. And I don't ever regret leaving Wall Street behind. I don't regret turning my back on New York City. I don't regret going and turning my back on becoming a musician. Amen. I turned my back on all those things because there was a call that was pulling towards me to preach the gospel. I fell in love with the Word of God, and I could not keep it quiet. And I love it more now than I did 30 years ago. But 30 years ago, when I fell in love with the Word, on the cloud. Amen. And I've been preaching this time. years in Jackson, Mississippi, studying the Word of God, hardships, and working 40 hours a week to pay my way through. I don't regret any of that. I love what I'm doing. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
What are you still suppressing after all these years of opportunities? What fear, what lie has got you bound up? Oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. Let's all stand together today. I'm going to tell you something right now. There is nothing more liberating. There is nothing more renewing and life-changing than to step out on faith and answer the call of God on your life.
Hallelujah.
It will lead you to places that you never imagined you could have met. You will become a person that nobody ever thought that you could be. They said of Jesus, is not this Joseph's son? Are not his brothers and sisters with us? How then hath he this wisdom and knowledge? And it was said of Peter and John when they stood before the Sanhedrin after healing a lame man. All these are not these Galileans? Are not they ignorant and illiterate men? How is it? And they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They went from being fishermen to being fishers of men. God is calling you today. Get your head out of the clouds.
Amen.
And turn your face towards Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So bow our heads together right now. If you would like to come and pray. I haven't seen anybody in the altar today, but I know I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There are people in the... I know this as a pastor. There are people in this church that are suppressing their callings and their giftings. You are talented. You are blessed. You are anointed by God. Everybody that knows you sees it. Everybody around you is attracted to it. But you are suppressing it. And you are holding it back. And God is calling to you. And the fire is burning inside of you. But you are holding it back. Oh, listen to me, Prophet Jeremiah. You can't keep it quiet. Because it's like a fire shut up in your bones. And you can try to keep it quiet. Oh, but eventually it's going to explode out of you. The call of God will rip you to shreds if you don't let it out. You'll fall into depression and discouragement, and your soul will eat itself from the inside out if you don't answer the call of God that's coming to you. It's time to get your head out of the clouds. Oh my goodness, I feel the Holy Spirit here right now. Is there anybody else that feels led to come and pray today? There are future preachers and pastors in this church right now. There are ministries in this church that will turn Fairfield upside down, that will influence with, as they say in history, shots fired around the world. It's time to stop suppressing and depressing and crushing the call in your life. It is time to release it and let it go. It's time. God is frustrated with you. I'm frustrated with you as your pastor. What are you waiting for? A magic pill? A magic button? A special invitation? Somebody to point their finger in your chest? Are you waiting for lightning from heaven? I hear angels today saying, get your head out of the clouds and get to Jerusalem. Get to your upper room. Because God's got a promise. and the power to fall on you. What are you afraid to give up? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Try to get some money in a pack of cigarettes, and I told him the Holy Ghost came on me. I told him, I said, that's not a pack of cigarettes, brother. That's a pack of lies. And he looked at me, and he was just as shocked as I was about what I said. And I said, every time you pull a cigarette out and put it in your mouth, you are sucking on a lie. There's too many people that Jesus died and shed His blood for, forgave your sins and washed them away. They're still sucking on the lie. Church today, you have a Father in heaven,
yeah,
who loves you and who cares about you, who sees everything that you've been through. He knows the pain that you have. He knows your insecurities and your fears. He knows your foibles. But if you would just trust Him for a second, He will grow your confidence. He will transform your self-image. And He will remove lies and set up towers of truth, walls that are impenetrable. Then I feel the Holy Ghost here. Let's call out to the Lord today.
Oh my God.
Let's open our hearts to Him. Let's give ourselves to Him. As they sing in this worship chorus, give yourself.
Oh,
get your head out of the clouds and make up your mind. Before I lay my head on the bed tonight, I'm going to take one step in the direction that God has called me.